Y'all hear me good?
Yes.
Can you hear me even better? Amen. Amen. Somebody tell God thank you for all of his goodness, all of his grace, all of his mercy, and all of his kindness. How many here tonight know we serve a mighty God? And I don't see a clock, so I guess I'm in good shape. I might take advantage of that. Oh, y'all took it down? Okay. I was going to take advantage of that and blame it on COVID. Well, it's good to see everyone tonight. I'm Demetrius Boyd, probably an humble pastor of the St. Paul Missionary Baptist Church. Amen. Which just happens to be Holy Ghost headquarters for East Texas. Amen. And I am peacock proud and honeymoon happy to be here. Tonight's Wednesday night, and I always say Wednesday night is a good night for serving the Lord. Amen. 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 And before I even begin, not to put anyone on blast, is there anyone here that is not sure about their salvation tonight? You're not sure. I'm going to ask you at the beginning, and I'm going to ask you at the end. Is there anybody here that is not sure? Okay, by a show of no hands, then I take it that everyone here is already saved. So then that means I can preach the hell out of you. Amen. Amen. I want to give all praises to God, who's the head of my life, to my good friend and the illustrious pastor of this church, Pastor Mike Mize, who not only do I consider a brother in Christ, I also consider my friend in Christ, and all the ecclesiastical brothers and clergymen that may be out in the office, in the pulpit and on the floor. We greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Y'all give the Lord a hand praise for our choir coming and blessing us with a song. As I was praying for what the Lord would have me to share tonight, I never contact the pastor and talk to him outside of casual conversation of time and date and make sure all the confirmations are there. Because I always want to hear from heaven and ask God to give a word for the season that that body of believers are in, as well as our church family, so we can partner together in Christ and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So I always do that so that what you hear come from my mouth has nothing to do with anybody but God. And what a blessing it is to hear from God and him facilitate that to us, that we may take it and grow stronger, not only in him, but also stronger with one another. Because how many of you know we need each other? Yeah, we need each other. Amen. So tonight, I want to come from one of the poetical books, or books of poetry of the Old Testament, coming from the book of Psalm. The book of Psalm. Familiar passage of scripture, if you ever spend any time in scripture, Psalms 126, and I'm really going to pull from one scripture, but I'm going to read 1 through 6, but our diet tonight will be coming from verse 5. When you have it, say amen. If you don't have it, say wait a minute. Okay, amen. We'll hold up. As Psalms 126, it's right after 125. Amen. Amen. Somebody say help us tonight. Psalms 126 reads, "When the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, The Lord have done great things for them. The Lord have done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Verse 4, turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Pay attention to verse 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Amen.
He that goeth forth weeping, bringing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. I want you to indulge me tonight. Look at the one sitting next to you or standing next to you and tell them, I love you. 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 Pastor Boyd needs your prayers. He's going to speak tonight from a topic. Y'all watch this. You're not just doing this for nothing. Turn around to somebody and say, you're not just doing this for nothing. Yeah. Yeah. Church said amen. There is a story that is told of an old lady or a senior lady who was going through a multiple series of tragedies in her life. Her husband had passed. She had lost her sister. Her children were on the outs with their relationship. Her finances were dwindling, and only by the grace of God was she making it from one week to another. Her health was failing. She could no longer do the things that, to the manner and level that she once did. And the pastor, her pastor, came to her and said, sis, I am praying for you. And she very quickly asked him, what are you praying for? And he gave her a plethora of things that he was praying for. And she said, I want you to pray one more thing, Pastor. I want you to pray that I won't come out of this empty-handed. That I am not going through this for nothing. And that touches me. Because my brothers and sisters, that's the vein of thought that I want to roll with tonight. Because if any of us have been on the battlefield for any season or length of time, you know you don't get this far except by faith. Anytime that you are serving the Lord, I promise you, there is sorrows tied to it. There is some suffering tied to it. There are sacrificial faith that you must endure in order to achieve the goals God has assigned you to do. I'm telling you, there's some tears involved in serving the Lord. And it's almost to the point to this day and age to where we have got to fight even harder to get to the purposes and plans that God has designed for us individually and collectively as a church or a body of believers, because Satan is so busy and God is so pointed with his design and his plan that he is going to allow some things to be disrupted just to prove who his true worshipers are. People who are willing to fight through some tears to get to the promise. And you don't get to the promise without crying sometimes.
Can I get a witness in the house? New Hope does not see to where they are without somebody crying. You may be crying, secretly praying for somebody in your family, fighting tears to still do what you're called to do. You may be struggling with church politics, because if worldly politics is tough, church politics is tougher. If you think dealing with Christians is something, dealing with church folk. Oh, y'all ain't got to say amen. I'm gonna preach it anyway. Dealing with church folks is harder. Because they think what they're doing is doing it in the name of Jesus. And it becomes troubling, and you have to fight back some tears to see the way church folk act when they're supposed to be acting like Christians.
Amen.
And you have to sow through some tears. You have to bite your lip. I need to talk to some real folk right here. Bite your tongue. Close your eyes and turn your head and go pray. Because you don't want to act like what you see. Is there anybody in the house that I can preach to tonight to tell you that everything that you're going through in this house, outside of house, in your own house, you are not going through it for nothing?
Amen.
So let me give you the first shout of the night. I got three of them for you, so you won't be long. Let me give you the first shout of the night. The first shout of the night is that your frustration and your aggravation is not without compensation.
All right.
Y'all can shout on that when you get home. In other words, what I am enduring, there's going to be a benefit to it.
Yes, sir.
I may be crying right now. But my Bible tells me weeping may endure for a night, but joy is going to come in the morning. In other words, there's a time frame tied to my suffering. And there is a period that I must endure, even if I have to fight through some tears and sorrows and suffering and sacrifice to do it. Let me speak to some married folks in the house. Has your husband ever been on your nerve? And you still cook dinner? I need some real folk up in the house right now. You just did it anyway. Amen. I want us to get this, because point number one, you desperately have to meditate on the fact that my frustration and my agitation is not without compensation.
Amen.
Verse 5 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy.
Yes.
I have got to continue to believe that God is going to turn this thing around. I have got to continue to have faith that no matter what I see now, but what I am experiencing now is not going to last. My God's going to come see about my needs, and my God's going to work that thing out. I know I'm hurting right now, but my God's going to fix it. I've got to give up. And I must be patient. Because the seeds of the service that I'm sowing will one day reap the harvest that I'm expecting.
Yes, Lord.
And I got to treat it as though things were, even though they're not.
Yeah.
See, you do not harvest a field of wheat the day after you sow the seed.
That's right.
Touch two people and say, it takes a while, baby. It takes a while. It takes a while. It may take a while. What you're calling frustration and what you're calling aggravation, God is calling opportunity.
Yes,
this is an opportunity in the frustration, in the aggravation, in the sorrow, in the suffering to glorify God in the midst of a situation that you don't see it right now, but you trust what my daddy said because I'm moved by his revelation and not the situation, and I have inspiration because of the revelation he shared with me. And what did he say? All things work together for good for those who love him and called according to the purpose. It may not look good right now, but my daddy is working something for good. And you got to hold on there, baby. Look at your neighbor. Tell your neighbor, you're going to be compensated. Yeah. How many know everybody appreciates appreciation? But sometimes thanks you hurt when you feel like you're being taken advantage of. Boy, I need to be at the wrong church here. How many of you know that your circumstances is an opportunity when you got to deal with shallow-minded folk? Uh-oh. Unfortunately, everybody is not at the level of maturity where they can see vision. So they're short-sighted. They can't see past themselves. Ouch. But to see what God is saying, you got to get out of yourself and look through spiritual eyes, because my Bible tells me we walk by faith and not by sight. I don't care what it looks like right now. My daddy is doing something that's going to be great, gracious, and glorifying to his kingdom. And if you want to be a part of it, get out of yourself. Start looking through the eyes of the Father. Instead of your foolishness. See, I got the benefit of being the evangelist. I can say that. Watch this. Galatians says, you got to hang in there. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 and 10. Y'all watch this, because I got to validate what I'm sharing with you. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9 through 10 says, and let us, being believers, not be weary in well doing. For in due season, we will reap if we faint not. I can't give up. I've got to keep sowing, even though I'm not seeing the fruit of what I'm sowing right now. Why? Now watch verse 10. Now this is where I want to make sure y'all validate my point. Why? Because sometimes it's hard to deal with church folk. I knew it was going to get quiet tonight. But watch verse 10. As we therefore have opportunity. And we have opportunity. Let us do good unto all men. Now watch this. Especially unto them of the household of faith. Huh. You got to remember. In chapter 5, he gave the fruit of the Spirit, the good fruit and the bad fruit. He said, because some of the people who's of the household of faith are not operating in the Spirit. They should. And you're going to have more patience with them, because you know they shouldn't be acting like that. Huh. I see you every Sunday. How come you can't sit next to me? What is it that you can't speak to me? Ouch. Wow. How is it that you smile on me on Sunday and can't speak to me at Walmart Monday? And it really hurts people who's striving. It hurts them to see frustration in God's house. It hurts them to see Christians or believers at odds with one another. It bothers them. And they have to fight through some tears just to come. Amen. Right now. God said it shouldn't be like that. Wow, right. You're not going to get to sing your song every Sunday. Let somebody else have a time. You're not the only one that can sing.
He ain't ready for me tonight, brother. He ain't ready for me tonight.
Amen. So if I'm going to understand this, that God's going to flip this thing and desperately seek the understanding that there's compensation for my frustration, I'm going to have to be able to endure some things.
Right.
See, real believers may disagree, but they don't fall out.
Amen.
Let me come on this side. Understand.
Real believers may disagree, but they don't fall out.
Amen.
Everybody don't like the same color carpet you like.
Amen.
Let me come back on this side. There's different kind of doorknobs we can buy from the door.
Amen.
We don't have to break fellowship over a doorknob.
Amen.
But we should not be spending your money. It ain't your money.
Yes, it is.
Ouch. Last time I checked, you gave it to the Lord. So when we start to use it for the Lord's house, what are you tripping for?
Y'all ain't got to say, man, I'm going to preach anyway. I'm going to preach anyway.
So watch this. And you got to fight through some tears to endure those kind of things. And it bothers you. And God says, don't you start showing your gift, because you're going through some things right now. Which brings me to my second shout. Don't let your mood stop your movement. Come and tell you something. We can be some moody folk. And your mood can hinder some movement. He said, they that sow in tears. I'm crying. So my mood isn't good. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't feel like church every day. Ooh. No, I don't feel it every day. I would love to feel that every day. But sometimes I got to gear up with Christ just to come. Can I have some real believers in the house that gonna raise their hand, just kind of wave them to know what I'm talking about? See, once you have to fight through tears and you see what's going on, you struggle sometimes, but then you remember and you understand that in spite of my mood, I still got to be moving. My mood motivates me now and not hinders me now. Because I can sit there and be stuck in the sorrow of my tears and be stuck in the mud of my tears because of my mood. But instead of being stuck in my tears, I believe what God says, and in spite of how I feel, I keep going forward. Look at your neighbor and say, keep moving, baby. Keep moving. Don't get still and don't get stuck. Keep moving. Don't get caught up on your emotional state and let your emotional state stop you from doing things God has called you to do. You know you're struggling when you got to force yourself to do something you already love to do.
Yeah.
You're aggravated.
Yeah.
When you no longer love to do what God gifted you to do, something's bothering you.
Yeah.
And God said, wait, check that before you come to church. Because if you're not going to surrender it when you leave home or surrender when you get here, somebody's going to experience your mood.
I know you're right.
And you're going to sit by me and can't even introduce yourself?
Amen.
How many know a moody person? I hope they're not sitting next to you. But how many know a moody person? Do you know how hard it is to deal with a moody person? You don't know how to act yourself, women. Should I say this? Should I not say this? Should I speak or should I not speak? Should I hug or should I holler? What's going to do today? I don't know what kind of mood they in, so I got to walk soft. A all I said was good morning. What good is it? How good is it? That task on the dog. I just asked you how good they was. Amen. Amen. So don't let your mood stop your movement. See, the crops won't wait while you finish your mood. Let me come a little bit closer to your house. Your bills won't start coming because you're mad at them. It's not going to wait for you to change your mood before more starts coming. And if you think that Satan's going to let you up off the carpet once he know he got you down, baby, you better raise up and fight yourself, dust yourself off, get over yourself, and get back to your father's business. Get out of your mood. Check them. Watch this. Sowing your tears can determine whether you're going to water your rose or drown in your own sorrows. One of the unique things about this text is that they had been in bondage to the Assyrians for over 70 years, and they just got the news that they were going to be released. And it was like they couldn't really believe what was going on. It was like a dream. They were wandering around. And then all of a sudden, they started getting a little joy and excitement about themselves, but they still had bondage to hang over. And the scripture says in verse 4, when the people saw them starting to rejoice, they realized that God was blessing them before the one who was being blessed knew it.
All right.
Amen. See, sometimes people on the outside recognize God's blessing you, but because of your moodiness, you don't see it on the inside, but they know God is blessing you on the outside, but you don't have sense enough right now because you're stuck on stupid. Somebody high-five me way back in the back. High-five me. Bam! And your mood blocks your vision.
Right.
And somebody on the outside said, what they complaining for? Look how good God did. They woke up this morning. Come on in here, somebody. God got them up this morning. They didn't crawl up here. They walked in here. They had a car to drive, roof over their head, clothes on their back, shoes on their feet. Everybody doing reasonably well. What are you complaining for? Get over yourself. Give God some praise, because our God is good. Shake that off. He's too good for that. And people on our side said, dog, you ought to be shouting. Why are you pouting? That's why David said, I was glad when they said unto me. Y'all missed that. That was a shout too moment. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of God. You ought to get happy when you come up in here. You ought to be waving and shouting, talking to everybody. Hey, how you doing? How you doing? Oh, I'm not doing good, but my God is good. I'm going through hell and high water, but my God is good. My body's aching, but my God is good. My children are tripping, but my God is good. I'm hurting in my heart, but my God is good. My mind is tripping, but my God, do I have a witness in the house that God is good? Spotted how I feel. He's still good. And your mood can rob you of the joy of the Lord. People get tired of seeing you get up there. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound. Save the wretch like me. It don't look like it. I need some folk to say amazing grace. How sweet the sound to save the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. Do I have any grace folks in the house? Amazing grace. So amazing. So don't let my mood stop my movement. I got to keep moving. And finally, do it anyway.
Y'all do me a favor. Touch two people and say, do it anyway. Turn around to somebody behind you and say, do it anyway. Do it anyway. Pastor, I don't feel like it. Do it anyway. Pastor, I really don't feel like I want to, but do it anyway. Pastor, they're on my nerve, but
do it anyway. Wow.
Pastor, I don't want to say yes, but I don't feel like loving, but y'all see how that works? Scripture says in verse 6, he that goeth forth. In other words, in spite of my tears, in spite of my sorrows, in spite of my mood, in spite of how I feel, I'm going to do it anyway. If nobody else don't do it, I'm going to do it anyway. When everybody else don't feel like going, I'm going to do it anyway. When everybody else don't feel like walking and believing, I'm going to do it anyway. When they fall down, I'm standing up and I'm going to do it anyway. When they turn around, I'm moving forward what God said, I'm going to do it anyway. I'm walking with the glory of God. And I'm going to do it anyway. Because watch this. He said, they who soweth and have their precious seed, the things God has given to sow, on the ground he's given it to sow, and you sow it in the right soil that he has already prepared. Because all he wants to see you sow it. He said, I'll water it if you just sow it. You want me to do something you ain't even sowed yet. God want to run around this church three times and come back here and shout. He says, why do you want me to keep doing what I said you can do?
Yeah.
Well, what do you want me to sow? Number one, I want you to sow a seed of faith.
Yes.
That you believe me. That in spite of your sorrow and what you're going through, I'm still going to do what I said I'm going to do. And then I need you to sow a seed of love. Because at that season of time, you've got to understand, they're coming out of place still in bondage in their mind, even though they're free. And they're walking here, going back to a land that's been decimated. And they know the first year is going to be a slow year, and they're going to need a lot of stuff to produce and grow and fulfill the land's promise. But they have little seed. And they got to make a decision. Do I sow this seed and trust God for the harvest? Or do I go cook a meal for my family? Because we're going to eat little right now. And there's a dilemma. Can I sacrifice a little to gain a lot in the Lord? He says, sow the seed of faith. But watch this. You sow the seed of promise. Because look at you. I'm walking in my breakthrough. Y'all will catch that in just a minute. I'm walking in my breakthrough. Every time I sow, I'm crying, but I'm sowing. Everything I go dip into the apron, get the seeds. Watch this. The seeds that are being watered, they water with my tears first, and then he water in from heaven second. I need somebody to understand what I'm saying. So watch this. I sowed this one seed, but the seed is going to produce more than I sowed. Because one seed of an apple seed produces an apple tree. And there's not just one apple on the tree. There's a lot of fruit on that tree came with one seed. So if I sow one seed, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all I even can ask or think. If I can just sow it, he can multiply what I sowed because I sowed it in faith. I need some witnesses in the house that say God did above that I ever could think he could do. One seed. One seed can reap a bountiful harvest of a whole tree if you just sow it. So when they acting ugly, you sow love. I'm going to close with this. Because you can only reap what you sow. You don't reap what they sow. Glory be to God. He said, if they're sowing you bad, you sow them good. because you're going to reap the goodness of what you sow. And I'm not worrying about you right now. I'm going to pray for you. Because don't make me say in my prayer for you, in the name of Jesus. Because if I say in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. He is Lord. So what is not right, God's going to make it right. So instead of getting angry, let me call on the name of Jesus and watch the power of the Lord move in God's house. And move in my God's people. Don't fight. Pray. You may have to pray in tears, but pray. Lift them up before the name of Jesus. Let them know I love you and I'm praying for you. But it don't mean I'm going to put up with anything. Uh-oh. Touch two people, say, don't make me check you. Now, I'll check you, I'll check you, I'll check you. Don't make me check you, don't make me check you. Watch this, Bob. Let me get out of here and close with this. So my message to you tonight, if you're feeling discouraged, if you feel like that somehow things are not going your way, I'm going to tell you something. In a lot of cases, that's good. Because I found out if it didn't go the way I wanted, it went exactly the way the Lord wanted it. And sometimes you just got to be good with God or what he does until he does something else. And if there's one thing that I found, is the fact that if you sow it, God will give you a harvest. And you're not going through this for nothing. You didn't endure that. And I don't know if I should tell this, but I think I may just throw this in for free. There's a young man and his son walking on the beach. And there was thousands of starfish on the beach. And they were dying because they wasn't in the water. And the little boy immediately ran over there with enthusiasm and started throwing them back into the water. And his dad started throwing them back into the water. And after just so many, the boy got weary and tired. He said, Dad, it's just so many of them. There's no way we can get them all in. So what's the use? What does it matter us have to spend all this time and being tired and weary to throwing these starfish in there? His dad says it matters a whole lot to the ones who's in the water. Amen. Do it anyway. Because if you save just one, do it anyway. If one person in the church gets encouraged, do it anyway. Why? Because you're not doing this for nothing. There's a promise with everything God said. And we may not see it all in this season of life, but we will reap it by and by. Do I have a witness that's glad for the heavenly promises and blessings? Be patient. Don't let your move stop your movement. And whatever God has called you to do, do it anyway. Now, as we open the doors of the church tonight, Pastor, if it's okay, I want to speak to some people. Number one, who does not know this man named Jesus. Because without him, I don't care what you do. Only the things you do for the Lord is going to last. And if you have not received him into your heart, in the pardon of your sins, you can do that tonight. If you're not absolutely sure if I passed away right now that I'll be in my Father in heaven, you can be sure tonight. Nobody goes unto the Father except by the Son. Amen. So if everybody, if you don't know him and you need to know him, you want to know him, you can get to know him tonight. So all heads bow real quick with a show of hands. Is there anybody here that does not know him and not sure of their eternal salvation? Just raise your hand where you are. Just raise your hand. Where you are. Okay. Now all heads lifted. Now here we go. I'm asking some of you to make a decision tonight. Who you know in your heart You've been crying some tears over some things that you desire. And it's been a long time. You have not seen the results of your labor so far. And you're on the verge of giving up. You're on the verge of quitting. You're on the verge of stop doing the things that God has already called you to do. I want to encourage you tonight to join me down here. You don't have to come down here and tell everybody your business. We're just going to have prayer of encouragement. That we keep moving on with the Lord even when things don't look like they're moving. Even when things don't look like we're progressing. Even when there's disagreements and disappointment. We can do this together. As we open the doors of the church and we open some special prayer. Maybe you're being weary in your service. Maybe you're being weary on your job, weary at home. And you just want a little extended prayer. Will you come join me tonight at the altar for prayer? Will you just make your way to the altar for altar prayer? Let us all stand. Would you just make your way to the altar for altar prayer?
Turn the pulpit mic on. You may feel like giving up right now. Things in your marriage, things in your ministry, things in your youthful life at school, things are just troubling you. And it seems like you have trouble on every hand. And with everything coming at you all at once, you're still trying to serve. You're still trying to do what you love to do, but it gets trying sometimes. And you want to quit. You want to throw in the towel. But God tells us tonight, you're not doing this for nothing. Be patient. Trust Him. Be not weary in well doing. Will you come tonight? Make your way to the altar. Stand where you are. Will you come? I'm asking you tonight, don't give up. Don't quit. Hang in there. Trust the Lord for His promise. Everything will be all right. And you will bring in the sheaves of the harvest. And everyone will see how good of a God it is that you serve. It's not too late. Let us bow.